You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. He's speaking to us from Florida. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sean, a U.S. Trade court has ruled the tariffs imposed in the U.S. for the most part are unconstitutional. Is this ruling going to stick, or is the administration just going to continue with its tariffing policy?
Well, there are other things Trump can do, and I don't expect him to take it quietly. You know, is there anything that about Trump that would lead you to believe that he would take a setback like this quietly? Nothing I've ever seen. So I expect that he'll do something else. And that's why the response we see in the market is muted, I believe, is because people are waiting for the other shoe to drop. Now, that said, we've also learned that anytime Trump does do these tariffs, he quickly backs down. He did that with China. He did that with Britain. He, what's the third country he did that with? I can't remember. Anyway, so whatever he comes up with, it'll sound strong and severe and all that stuff, and then he'll fold like a cheap suit the way he always does. So, you know, I mean, the market's response has been muted. One thing I found interesting is the response in gold, which is gold went up depending on whether you're looking at the active contract as tracked on MarketWatch. It says up 52, but that seems rather weird. Over on, say, something like FinViz, it says it's up 24.50. That seems much more likely. And that's a sizable move in gold. And so what that is telling us, I believe, is that we're seeing more uncertainty. In other words, people thought they knew what was going to happen, which is Trump would roll out these absurd tariffs and then they would be negotiated down. Now no one knows, and so that adds to the uncertainty, and so that's why we're seeing gold move higher, because there's more uncertainty than ever in the market. You and I have talked before where I said that uncertainty was my big watchword for this market. Now more than ever, that's only increased. I don't see how this is anything but more uncertainty, simply because we don't know what Trump will do. So we'll see how it works out. I'm glad to have gold positions. That said, most of the gold miners are down today. I think that's profit-taking, but then again, I shouldn't complain too much because I'm one of the people taking profits, you know. As the old saying goes on Wall Street, just take profits. You'll feel better. And so when the market's showing you some kind of topping activity, which we seem to be seeing in gold miners right now, I don't think it's a big top. It's just a short-term top. It's just time to take some profits and then turn around and say, what would I like to buy next? And at the next bounce in gold miners, I will buy, you know, something that looks good. But so just to wrap things up, this is a setback for Trump. I don't think he will take it quietly. The market isn't acting like he'll take it quietly. And so we'll see what the next shoe is to drop. Just be prepared for more uncertainty out there.
NVIDIA reporting a very huge profit, up 69%. Is that more noise and fury than actual results?
No, that's good results. Mm-hmm. Now, I was on a call with my coworkers yesterday, and I asked them to hold their hands up if they thought NVIDIA was going to beat earnings. I was the only one that put my hand up. Now, I am long NVIDIA, so perhaps I have a good reason to be, but NVIDIA is a master at managing expectations and then beating those expectations. And what they've done, I mean, it looks good. Looks like a great quarter. They did have somewhat of a setback in China, but that didn't detract much from their results. And They said, yeah, you know, China will be more of a problem longer term, but they still sell all the chips they can manufacture, except for the ones which were ruled that they couldn't sell them because they were supposed to go to China. You know, but that's okay. I mean, really, things look very good for NVIDIA here. I heard someone describe it as the best house in the best neighborhood. It's very good for AI and all that stuff. So, I mean, now, not everything was perfect. You know, their net income moved down to $18.8 billion from $22.1 billion in the previous quarter. That was due to the Chinese export restrictions. And we also saw the net profit margin fall to 43%. That was, again, due to export restrictions on those H2O chips to China. But, you know, these are margins and profits that any other company would kill for. And so I don't see any problem with what they're doing at all. I think they look great. They're helping the Supercycle investor portfolio. I have no problem there. And so I expect we'll see more of the same. Now, does that translate to other tech stocks? I don't know. I'm being very selective in tech stocks. I just added one this past week, and it's doing okay. We'll see how the breakout goes. But you have to be very careful. Again, it's that uncertainty thing. What will happen with the next thing Trump does? Because just to go back to the tariffs, the court ruled that he couldn't do the broad sweeping tariffs on all countries the way he was doing. However, he does have the power to target industries like the steel tariffs that he put in place. They're still there, you know, because you can say, well, we have an emergency in our steel industry and all that stuff. So there could be tariffs that affect what other tech companies do, and we might not know what those are yet. So just be careful what you buy. I do think there are buys you can make in the tech area. I'm very comfortable holding NVIDIA right now. And so we'll just see how that goes.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, what's going on with gold?
You know, like I just said, gold is up quite nicely today, but we are seeing selling in the miners. So, you know, I took some gains. Other people are taking some gains. That's okay. It just means that traders as a group think that the miners have gotten ahead of themselves. I think gold is going to have a phenomenal year. That's the way we're positioned. Our positions are working out very well for us. The nice double-digit gains that we're taking for today are great, and I already have at least three picks that I'd like to put that money into. What I'm doing, though, is I'm moving down the chain from the big larger miners to the smaller ones. Not only miners, but I'm also looking at stocks that could be bringing mines on soon. I think there's a whole bunch you can look at in that space. I believe we are getting to the part of the rally where the small miners can start to do extraordinarily well. And so, you know, gold looks good. We are seeing buying from China hand over fist. We're seeing buying from other countries, buying a lot. They don't like the U.S. dollar hegemony. They don't like the U.S. using its currency as a club. They'd like to be more insulated from that. Gold is one way to do it. And for investors around the world, if you're worried about uncertainty, well, there's really nothing more certain, nothing more reliable than gold. And so that really attracts a lot of interest that way. So, you know, I mean, I'm feeling very good about my gold positions. I think anyone who has been long gold for quite some time is probably doing pretty well in this market. And I expect that to continue this year. I don't see anything changing in the near term or the intermediate term on that one.
Anything going on with uranium?
Yeah, I mean, we had a presidential order which, you know, should open the way for easier uranium mining, and that seems to be part of what has lit a fire under stocks like Cameco and some other ones. If you want to follow just one of the ETFs that hold uranium stocks, they're all doing very well, so that's good, you know, and it's an easy way to play it. I've been disappointed in uranium so many times. I'm really saying, you know, we'll see. But though I expect after that big run up, we'll see a pullback soon. That's a pullback that can be bought. The long-term picture for uranium is quite, quite good. And once you get into things like how this industry is going to be transformed by things like small modular reactors, that sorts of thing, just there's really upside potential in at least select stocks. I'm not going to say all stocks, but at least select stocks should be doing quite well. So that's an area that I'm looking at with more interest. The next pullback comes along, I will be buying. I don't have a problem with anything I'm holding right now. It's just, you know, I mean, we've had so much disappointment in this market. It's kind of hard to work through because people have heard all the stories before and they haven't panned out. But at some point, it will work out. And so that's the story we know about uranium.
What's going on with copper?
Yeah, you know, what is going on with copper? I mean, I saw copper up this morning on the news of the like tariffs, and but then copper pretty much gave back most everything, you know. Now copper's well off the lows that it hit in early April, but it's also well off the highs it hit in late March, right? So it's just been kind of going sideways, consolidating. A lot with copper depends on the global economy. If we can get the tariffs out of the way, if we can put the tariffs behind us and say that was a bad idea, and we might do targeted tariffs, you know, and like very specific ones, but not have the broad tariffs anymore, that should be helpful for the global economy, and that in turn should be helpful for copper. So right now it's sideways, and I guess you could build positions if you want to, but until it breaks out, there's no rush.
Anything happening on the cannabis front?
Gosh, I haven't even looked at it recently. Let me look at a ETF of some of my favorite Canadian producers. No. I'm sorry. That looks dull as dishwater right now. It doesn't look like much is going on there. And, you know, it's not too surprising. I mean, just talk about an overhyped sector, because one thing you have to remember about cannabis is it's a weed. And so if you can find a value-added play, that might be a way to do it. But for companies that are actually growing and producing, there's just too much of it around. Customers have so much choice. I know, because I am a Florida medical marijuana patient, prices have been going down and down and down. It's actually quite nice now. How much you can get. And at some point, you can only use so much, right? I mean, especially if you have a job. so there's only so much you can do. So that kind of limits the upside for these companies. So we'll see what happens. I think that there are ways you could play that industry, but I, again, would look for something value-added, not the growers, not at this time.
Anything else that's caught your eye right now?
Right now, you know, I am kind of disappointed that gold miners didn't move higher with gold today, so that takes some of the wind out of my sails, but I like the action in silver, for example. And again, silver miners are selling off a bit, but boy, does silver look prime to move. It really does. Just look at the price action in it. It looks bullish. And so I can't wait to see what's happening there. The other thing that I'm doing is I recently added an oil stock because this is to Resource Trader, because if you look at the price action between oil exploration and production stocks and the price of oil, oil exploration and production stocks are actually moving higher even as oil trades flat to down. What that tells you is that people in the industry, as well as analysts and traders, believe that the big sell-off in there is over and that higher prices are coming. At the same time, many stocks in this industry they trade either close to book value, at book value, or below book value. And some of these same stocks are growing their production and they pay dividends. So you have a bunch of things coming together to make these the cheapest stocks you can buy. If you don't think oil is going down to $50, and I don't, then I think that there are some real bargains to be picked up in that area. And so that's kind of what I'm doing now. And that pick that I added this week is working out for us so far. We'll just have to see how it goes in the future. But overall, you know, I think things look pretty good. We may have dodged a bullet on the global recession, especially with the court saying that we aren't going to have tariffs. That's the biggest thing the global economy needed, was not to have the drag of those tariffs. So, you know, things look much more optimistic to me than they did, say, a month ago. And so that's the way I'll be playing it.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me on.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.